Mother Earth says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, hey, oh. Hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh. And Father Sky says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, hey, oh. Hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh. Creatures say, take good care of us. Please do not hurt us. Hey, 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 oh. Hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh. And we are here to be ourselves, to be with one another, to be with our surroundings, to be, and we are here to take care of ourselves, to take care of one another, to take care of our surroundings, take care, to care. Nahastan aniva nijonne gosha bodhya, nijonne gosha bodhya. Hey, 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 oh. Hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh. Hey, 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 oh. Hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh.
Way. Greetings. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat-Kitishi Native American Center. We are broadcasting on RFPI, Radio for Peace International, Global Community Radio. Akwe, welcome. This is your host, Ones Pritzker. Wolf Mountain Radio focuses on protecting Mother Earth, defending Native lands and Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Please listen now to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Ho, Kanawantakwasin, to all of our relations.
Encontrarte tantas noches de ansiedad sin conocerte, sin poderme enamorar por no tenerte, y yo esperando por llegar a verte. De repente llegas tú tan suavemente y de un sueño me despierto placidamente. Me va a suceder, yo me siento enloquecer, era tú a quien soñé sin detenerme, a fuego lento, tu amor me va creciendo, poco a poco voy cayendo en ti, te voy queriendo, lento, a fuego lento, tú me vas convenciendo, yo soy para ti, tú eres para mí, sola para mí. tenerte. Te llamaba sin hallar mi gran ausente. Y el deseo de tenerte siempre en mi mente. Mi corazón lloraba por no verte. De repente llegas tú tan suavemente. Sueño me despierto placidamente. Algo me va a suceder. Yo me siento enloquecer. Eras tú a quien soñé sin detenerme. A fuego lento tu amor me va creciendo. Poco a poco voy cayendo en ti. Te voy queriendo lento. A fuego lento tú me vas convenciendo. Fuego lento, tu amor me va creciendo. Poco a poco voy cayendo en ti, te voy queriendo. Lento, a fuego lento, tú me vas convenciendo. Yo soy para ti, tú eres para mí, solo para mí.
Music from Mexican singer-songwriter Jennifer Pena off Univision Records CD, A Chorus Musical Mexicano. The name of that song, A Fuego Lento. Ashque, greetings and hello everyone. Welcome to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices. Today's program, we focus on the indigenous and poor people's struggle in Chiapas, Mexico. We are honored to have as our guest in the studio a very fine compañera, Miss Melody Gonzalez. Melody recently participated in the historic 2005 Zapatista Encuentro, a very special gathering in Chiapas, Mexico. Melody Gonzalez is a Chicana whose family heritage is from the indigenous Tarasco Mexican Indian people. She is a staff person for the National Student Farm Worker Alliance in Interfaith Action. Both organizations work in solidarity with the Coalition of Immokalee Workers here in Southwest Florida. I have the pleasure to know Melody as a personal friend from Yad Kiddushi Native Center's support work with the Student Farm Worker Alliance and Coalition of Immokalee Workers. Many of our worldwide listeners have previously heard our wonderful interview with Melody from the 2005 Immokalee Encuentro Wolf Mountain Radio series. I want to remind our listeners that this interview and many other fine Wolf Mountain Native Radio programs are always available to hear on RadioForAll.net webcast archives. Simply go to www.radioforall.net, then type in Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, in the blank search window, which will then open up the list of our programs. Melody Gonzalez and I share many of the same concerns for peace, social, economic, and environmental justice. We both do coalition building and work to empower people for global justice. Melody and I are dedicated to the well-being of indigenous peoples and support the rights of sovereignty and self-determination for indigenous peoples throughout the world. The situation in Chiapas, Mexico exemplifies the struggle of indigenous and poor people in what's now called Mesoamerica. The Zapatismo movement and the EZLN, the Zapatista National Liberation Army, under the guidance and leadership of Maya Indians, is an important and historic struggle for all to understand. Commentators and writers on the subject of the Chiapas Uprising often consider the January 1994 takeover of four towns in the Chiapas state of Mexico as the start of the Zapatista Rebellion. Certainly, the occupation of the 16th century colonial town of San Cristobal de las Casas by indigenous peoples and EZLN on that day, in which the North American Free Trade Agreement, NAFTA, was announced, was an important historic moment. However, as a Native American, I viewed the struggle beginning in 1519, when that Spanish invader and murderer, Hernan Cortes, washed ashore in Mesoamerica. What is now called Mexico was a land of diverse Native nations. Several examples of highly sophisticated societies include the ancient Olmec and Maya, as well as Zapotec, Mixtec, Toltec, and Mexica. 514 years after Columbus's arrival in the Western Hemisphere, there are still 56 different indigenous peoples with their distinct cultures and languages in what's now called Mexico. Several more well-known Indian peoples are the Maya, Huichols, Tarahumaras, Nahuas, Mexicas, Purpeches, Mixtecos, Otomis, Totonacas, and Zapotecas. In Chiapas, for example, the Tetzalis, Totziltilis, Tojolabalis, and Chamulas, and others have been living in extreme poverty, discrimination, and socioeconomic neglect by the Mexican national government. The implementation of NAFTA would greatly hurt Chiapas, indigenous peoples, and the poor by exacerbating the polarization of wealth and control over the land by the wealthy at the expense of the poor. Indigenous peoples and the poor barely survived prior to the North American Free Trade Agreement. NAFTA caused more misery and poverty and is a direct threat to the survival of Mexico's indigenous peoples and the poor. The Zapatistas are dedicated to supporting the poor of Mexico. Their EZLN forces fight against the oppression of the national government, which the PRI party abusively ruled 70 years over the poor. Indigenous peoples had no cultural or human rights. Proper health care, education, access to good homes, and democratic participation in government were non-existent. Racism and discrimination against indigenous peoples were common and routine government practice, which sadly still continues today. For indigenous peoples of Chiapas, this was a continuation of colonialism. Most of the Indian peoples tried to live tribally and maintain their cultural lifeways. Land is sacred, and native villages held the land communally, farming under the ejido system, where the land was administered by the community. The Mexican national government over the years broke up the ejidos and have promoted privatization of Indian lands to non-native development. 77% of the farms in Chiapas were under rich private property landowners. Cattle ranches, coffee, cotton, eucalyptus, and rubber plantations are corporate agribusiness enterprises that the government of Mexico supported. Multinational timber, oil, and mining companies have also devastated the culture and environment of indigenous peoples in Chiapas. In the 1980s, I personally had the opportunity to travel through Chiapas and see firsthand some of the destruction from agriculture, energy, and forest resource exploitation. These are major concerns of the indigenous peoples and the Zapatistas. The EZLN's land reform program, as stated in the Agrarian Revolutionary Law, call for the return of farmland to the people. They demand that all large land estates will become collective farms for all poor peasants in order to provide food for their families and well-being of the village. The Zapatistas also support environmental protection, a basic concern of indigenous peoples who consider Mother Earth as sacred. Article 13 of the Revolutionary Agrarian Law states, quote, "Zones of virgin jungle and forest will be preserved. There will be reforestation campaigns in the principal zones," unquote. Article 14 states, quote, "The riverheads, rivers, lakes, and oceans are the collective property of the Mexican people, and they will be cared for by not polluting them and punishing their misuse," unquote. The Sandinistas EZLN communique of June 12, 1994, often referred to as the Declaration from the Lacandon Jungle, states 11 demands: independence, freedom, democracy, justice, peace, land, food, shelter, health, education, and work. For the indigenous peoples of Chiapas, political, cultural, and economic and social autonomy, as well as self-determination, must become a reality. To me, these are all fundamental human rights. We here at Yad Kiddushin Native Center hope that the people of Mexico will soon live in a country where these human rights are finally fulfilled for all peoples. I would like to now welcome Ms. Melody Gonzalez to Wolf Mountain Native Radio.
My name is Melody Gonzalez. I'm originally from what is now called Santa Ana, California. My parents are both from Mexico, from the state of Michoacán. I believe that my ancestors were the Tarascan brothers and sisters. Those were the native people of the state of Michoacán. I am now working here in Immokalee. I work with the Student Farm Worker Alliance and with Interfaith Action. Both groups work in partnership with the Coalition of Immokalee Workers. And recently, the Coalition of Immokalee Workers asked me to represent them at a meeting that was taking place in Chiapas with our brothers and sisters, the Zapatistas, in one of their autonomous indigenous communities. The Zapatistas in July came out with a 6th declaration where they talk about who they are, what they stand for, what their vision is for Mexico, what their vision is for the world. And they talk about just this being a movement for humanity and against neoliberalism. And so after this declaration came out, one of the things that they wanted to start in Mexico was something, and what they're calling the Other Campaign, which is a social agenda that will come from the people. Governments are always imposing their agendas on our society. But the Zapatistas felt that it was time that all of the people of the left in Mexico came together to construct their own agenda for Mexico, whether it's through a new constitution, a new form type of government that respects the rights of all individuals, especially indigenous peoples in Mexico, who for so long have been the most discriminated groups in Mexican society. They had 6 meetings where they invited people from all over Mexico to come and give their word about their communities, the struggle that they're involved in, and what their proposals are for this other campaign. I was invited to go as a part of a collective that called itself the Other Campaign on the Other Side. It was a group of Mexicans and Chicanos, who are sons and daughters of Mexican immigrants, who are all working on different struggles here on this side of the border. Us going meant that we were a part of the discussions of what's going on in Mexico, because we do not accept that border that was imposed on us, and that border for us does not exist. And the Mexican brothers and sisters that are on this side of the border have been displaced from their country. Many did not come because they wanted to, but were forced to come because of economic reasons. We went to, as a collective, but also as individual organizations. I, like I said, was representing the Coalition of Immokalee Workers. In the Zapatista community that we visited, we had the opportunity to present about the work that we're doing, and so I talked to them about the CIW, our recent victory against Taco Bell, about the different working conditions and the wages and the slavery cases, and then I talked just about our solidarity work with the Zapatistas and how we're going to support this other campaign, what they're doing. One of the proposals, for example, that we had as a collective was that we wanted to invite the Zapatistas to have a meeting with us on this side of the border, somewhere in Los Angeles, perhaps. Another proposal is that we want to be able to put together curriculum that talks about the history and the struggle of the Mexicans on this side of the border, because many people in Mexico are not very aware of what the situation is like on this side of the border. They often think that, you know, the people who leave and come to this side of the border live in luxury and they're making a lot of money because this is supposed to be the land of opportunities, but they don't know that people are working out in the fields and receiving sub-poverty wages, that people are working in factories where their rights are not being respected. There's a lot of things that they're not aware of, and so part of this curriculum that we want to do is just talk more about what the reality is here, but then also the struggles that have taken place. Some people don't know about the Chicano movement, for example, of the 1960s, the struggle here in Immokalee now, and so we want to be able to provide this curriculum, not just for the Zapatistas communities, but for all communities in Mexico to learn about our struggle here on this side of the border. In my time there, I also had the opportunity to just talk to a lot of wonderful people, including a Zapatista brother who worked in Immokalee in 1992. And when I interviewed him and asked him about the conditions, they're the same conditions as they are today, 11 years later. He talked about the bad wages, about the discrimination, and one of the things that his friends here in Immokalee didn't know was that he was a Zapatista. He didn't tell them because that was in 1992. The Zapatista uprising took place in 1994. He already knew that it was going to happen, but could not share that, obviously, for security reasons. And now in his message that he gave me to the brothers and sisters here in Immokalee was that he hopes that they can continue to be in the struggle and fight for their rights here, but if they chose to go back to Mexico, he wanted to let them know that there's a lot of people that are coming together to really build a strong movement in Mexico, and so they were more than welcome to go and participate in that. I also had the opportunity to interview a woman who is known as the abuelita of the Zapatistas, the grandmother of the Zapatistas, and this is a woman who is 82 years old and is still very much involved with the Zapatistas communities. In her youth, she was able to go to Cuba during the first year of the revolution, met Che Guevara, and has just been very involved in the movement. And for me personally, it was very inspiring to see a woman at her age just still in the struggle. It really inspires you. So I came back. I felt that this fire that I have inside of me was sort of refueled. I came back with so much energy. And when I had the opportunity to speak in front of the 800 people that were gathered there, which included the people from the community and just people from all over Mexico that were there, and in front of the Zapatista insurgents and commandants, it was a very powerful feeling. I was very nervous, but I knew that I was representing something bigger than myself. I was representing the work of the CIW, a work that has taught me so much and has helped me grow so much. As I looked into the eyes of every Zapatista, because that's all you can see from their faces. Their faces are covered with ski masks. And I looked into their eyes, and I felt that at that moment, I was sort of reconfirming my commitment to the struggle for justice for all peoples. I felt that at that moment everything made sense, and that this path that I have chosen was the right path. And it was just a reaffirmation about my beliefs and what I want to do with my life and with my gifts from the Creator.
Question I have is about the role and behavior of the Mexican authorities, the Mexican government, the Mexican police. My travels in what's now called Central America were during a time of a lot of brutal regimes of dictatorships and police checkpoints and military having a lot of influence and control over everyday life of the people there, and I witnessed a lot of not only injustice, but even what I would go so far to say is massacres of people, especially in Guatemala. What is the situation that you might know about with respect to the government of Mexico towards the Zapatista people? Are there local militias that are still causing trouble for the Zapatista people?
Well, fortunately, when we were there, because we were accompanied by a facilitator, we didn't encounter any problems getting into the communities. But both of the days that we were in the autonomous Zapatista community, which is called Javier Hernandez, there were we saw helicopters. So we know that the government was probably patrolling what was going on. The agreement was, for a long time, the military was there, and they're still very close by to the communities, and sometimes they do go in there. There's still a lot of people missing, and there's a human rights organization, for example, that we met with that is dealing with a lot of the cases of people who were murdered or people who are missing. Even, it was in June, I believe, that the Zapatistas called it for a red alert, and it meant that they didn't want any tourists to go into the Zapatistas communities. And what had happened was that the Mexican government claimed that they had that in some of the Zapatista communities they were growing marijuana, and so this gave them an excuse to go into the communities and try to find out what was going on. But it was really just an excuse for them to go into the communities and disturb the peace there, because for one thing, the Zapatista women who have a lot of power in the decisions that are made in the communities decided that there was no drugs or alcohol allowed in their communities. And so, and this is something that the Zapatista men respect, and it's something that they've all agreed to. And so, it is not true that there is marijuana being grown in Zapatista communities, but it was a way for the government to try to get in there, so, to instigate trouble, exactly. And so, although we didn't get to see, you know, any confrontation or anything like that, there's still that fear, and, you know, a lot of people who were Zapatistas in the past left the communities because of that, because of the fear, because of what was going on. Even in our taxi drive to the airport, our driver, who's from San Cristobal de las Casas, a pretty big city that's close to a lot of the communities, was just telling us about how the media hides so much what was going on at the time, the number of deaths, for example. And he says that even in San Cristobal, pretty close by, they would hear the gunshots, they would hear, you know, the war that was taking place. And what we saw in the press was not nearly what the reality was of how many people died and how many people are still missing.
My guest today in the studio is a dear friend, Melody Gonzalez, who recently participated in a 2005 Zapatista Encuentro in Chiapas, Mexico. Melody, a graduate of Notre Dame University, is a staff member of the National Student Farm Worker Alliance and Interfaith Action Network. Both organizations are based here in the Immokalee Southwest Florida area. They work in support of the Coalition of Immokalee Workers. As most listeners to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices know, Yad Kiddushin Native Center have also been longtime allies and supporters of CIW and farm worker justice. Melody and I share the same concern for the sovereignty and self-determination of indigenous peoples, such as our sisters and brothers in Chiapas, Mexico. The song we played earlier was entitled Messenger by Oneida singer-songwriter Joanne Shenandoah. I featured that song in honor of Melody here, who is sharing a message from the Zapatistas. Melody, my next question concerns itself with what is happening to Mother Earth in Chiapas. The indigenous communities have a reverence for their land. Native ceremonies ensure caring for their forests and fields as they have for millennia. The past century has seen great devastation to the environment and traditional cultures from government and corporate so-called development. In today's program introduction, I mentioned how the Mexican government broke up the village Ejido land tenure system into the hands of a small rich elite. Some 77% of the farms in Chiapas are now private property. How has large-scale agriculture, such as cattle ranching, coffee, cotton, eucalyptus, rubber, and other plantation farming, impacted the poor of Chiapas? The issues of multinational corporations raping the land for mining, timber, and oil development have very serious cultural and environmental impacts, which I saw when I traveled to Mexico and what's now called Central America. I know the Zapatistas fight against the desecration of their homeland. In our program introduction, we mentioned Articles 13 and 14 of the Agrarian Revolutionary Agrarian Law, which calls for land reform and protection of the natural environment. Melody, would you please comment on what is happening to the environment in Chiapas, issues of agriculture, energy, and natural resource development?
There's a lot of interest in Chiapas because, I mentioned, it's a poor state, but it's definitely one of the richest in natural resources. And what's interesting is that in January 1st of 1994, when the Zapatistas had their uprising, the multinational corporations were very concerned, and a lot of them contacted the Mexican government immediately. A lot of them took out their investments from Mexico because they were scared that the revolution was going to break out in Mexico. And I remember reading once, too, that there was a telegram sent by Citibank to the Mexican government saying, you know, we heard about these so-called Zapatistas, stop them now. And they wanted to stop them at all costs. And that is why it's very much believed that, and I think there are resources out there that say that this was a fact, that a lot of the Mexican military that went into Chiapas to stop the Zapatistas were people who were trained at the School of the Americas here in what's now called the United States. Also, it is believed that the U.S. government funded a lot of the weapons that were used against the Zapatistas. So definitely the corporations were responding but the Zapatistas were responding as well and were willing to fight for their lands. And so although there are multinationals that have privatized some of the land in Chiapas, the Zapatistas, autonomous communities, they're fighting to protect their land so that it's not privatized, it's not taken over by these corporations, so that it belongs to the people because they're the ones working the land and everything and protecting the land, taking care of it. And so there's definitely the resistance there. And one of my friends calls Chiapas sort of like the Mexican rebel, and it's definitely the rebel communities there that are in resistance and are saying no to the corporations and the governments going in there to destroy our Mother Earth and exploit the people. And so they're in the struggle, resisting.
Coño me ha robado el mes de abril. Donde no hay consuelo ni ascensor, el desamparo y la humedad comparten colchón. Y cuando por la calle pasa la vida como un huracán, el hombre de traje gris saca un sucio calendario de bolsillo y grita: ¿quién me ha robado? ¿Cómo pudo sucederme a mí? Oiga, pero... lo guardaba en el cajón donde guardo el corazón. El marido de mi madre en el último tren se largó con una peluquera 20 años menor. Y cuando exhiben esas risas de Instamatic en París, derrotada en el sillón, se marchita viendo Falcon 3, mi vieja, y piensa: ¿cómo pudo sucederme a mí? Venga, pero lo guardaba en el cajón donde guardo el corazón. ¿Alguien sabe que me ha robado? ¿Cómo pudo sucederme a mí? Pero lo guardaba en el cajón donde guardo el corazón. Absurdo como un belga por solear, vacío como la isla sin camarón, oscuro con túnel sin tren expreso, negro como los ángeles de Bachí, como la carta de amor de un preso. Así estoy yo, así estoy yo sin ti, perdido como un quinto en día de permiso, como un santo sin paraíso, como el ojo del maniquí. Y con camarones, como un barco sin horizonte, así estoy yo sin ti. Mucho más triste que un torero. Así estoy yo, así estoy yo, así es. Thank you. de jubilado, como la voz con los pibis. Macabro, como el vientre de los misiles, como un pájaro en un desfile, así estoy yo sin ti. Mucho más triste que un torero.
You are listening to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat Kitichi Native Center. Yat Kitichi Native Center defends Mother Earth and the cultural lifeways of indigenous peoples throughout the world. Yat Kitichi Native Center is an intertribal, culture and arts, environmental protection, social justice, and news media organization. Yat Kitichi Native Center portrays Native peoples and their world views in a more accurate and in-depth depiction of both our ancestral and contemporary cultures. Yat Kitichi Native Center serves to educate by providing a deeper understanding of our diverse cultures, arts, values, histories, and contemporary situations. Yat Kitichi tries to honor traditional ways by instilling an appreciation and respect for Mother Earth and tribal peoples throughout the world. Yat Kitichi Native Center educates the public on important issues facing indigenous communities. We work in support of intertribal, cultural, environmental, and social justice issues by networking with other organizations and events which share our concerns. Yat Kitichi Native Center serves as a focal point for Native news and information. We maintain a documentary library for networking with the Native and international press. Yat Kitichi Native Center's Speakers Bureau provides spokespersons for school programs, conference speakers, and community presentations. Yat Kitichi Native Center is experienced in planning, promoting Native forums, symposiums, powwows, and cultural events. Yat Kitichi's Mishkwinataki Environment Program protects Mother Earth through conservation and restoration projects. Yat Kitichi's Environmental Education Program focuses on curriculum development, teacher training, and nature field trips. We are members of the professional organization, the North American Association of Environmental Education. Yat Kitichi's Kinonwatakwisin Native Arts creates quality handcrafted traditional and contemporary fine arts. Please request our catalog of custom flutes, pottery, beaded necklaces, bracelets, earrings, leather pouches, hat bands, and chokers with bone. Yat Kitichi Native Center's Wolf Mountain Radio Program, Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, honors Native American and Indigenous peoples throughout the world by being a voice for our ancestors, contemporary, and future generations. Please write us for our catalog of audio tapes available for purchase. Native peoples throughout the world are concerned for the well-being of sacred Mother Earth, tribal sovereignty, and respect for cultural lifeways. If you appreciate hearing Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, we ask you, our listeners, to help financially support our program to stay on the air. Wolf Mountain Radio is an all-volunteer production. Any financial contribution to Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices will be greatly appreciated. We thank you for listening to Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices. We welcome your comments and suggestions. Please feel free to contact us about our consulting services or If you or your organization is interested in hosting a speaker or educational forum, to contact Yat Kitichi Native Center, write to Yat Kitichi Native Center, 1731 16th Avenue Northeast, Naples, Florida, 34120, USA. Yat Kitichi Native Center sincerely thanks you. Aho, Kinawatakusin, to all of our relations.
Come on, all you Mainers, and gather round me now. There's a story I must tell, impart to you somehow. About a trade agreement that soon you will all know. And the meeting of trade bureaucrats in Canada, Iowa. In April of 2001, the city of Quebec. Bureaucrats and corporate reps whom we did not elect. From 34 nations they will come into secret meetings, go to change the world without consent in Canada, Iowa. The agreement that they're making's called the FTAA. Free trade area, home of the Americas, so you'll hear them say. But there's nothing free about it, as I will have you know. They'll be taking away our freedom up in Canada, Iowa. They will open up the markets of the nations and the towns, so that every corporation can move their plants around. They can pay the lowest wages and watch their profits grow, while they export exploitation to Brazil and Mexico. They will tell us that their free trade is good for everyone. They will say that open markets will make the whole world one. One culture, one sweatshop, one exploitation zone. They'll buy and sell the whole wide world in Canada, Iowa. And when they're done, it will be difficult to take back what they stole, to convince us to hand over our freedom as their goal. They will tell you it's salvation, then they'll privatize your soul. The evangelists of capital in Canada, Iowa. They will privatize our water and our schools and all our seeds, so that someone can make billions off of every human need. They will mine us and they'll strip us till we have nowhere left to go. That's the dirty plan they're cooking up in Canada, Iowa. And all of this is happening with none of our consent. They mobilized their forces to silence our dissent. In a fortress guarded by 5,000 police on patrol, outside the fate of all our lives in Canada, Iowa. There's another story happening in the city of Quebec. Folks up there in Canada have had it to their necks. They've organized and mobilized and invited us to go. Join them to protest this mess in Canada, Iowa. So in April we will travel to these meetings in the north. If they stop us at the borders, we will fight for all it's worth. For the right to raise our voices and let these people know that we will not be silenced up in Canada, Iowa. You bureaucrats and corporations, you better watch your backs. We'll be tearing down your fences with La Casa y La Clac. We'll be coming north in April and it will be quite a show when we crash your party up in Canada, Iowa.
Music from singer-songwriter Ethan Miller off his 2002 Jet Center CD. That song, Canada, I.O., refers to the street protests in Quebec City during the April 2001 Free Trade Area of the Americas, FTAA Summit. The FTAA, like NAFTA and CAFTA, are nation-state and corporate globalization initiatives, which have very serious social, cultural, economic, and environmental impacts to the planet. It is the newest form of colonialism. Ethan's musical cooperative, Riot Folk, participated in the historic 2005 Immokalee Encuentro, hosted by the Student Farmworker Alliance, which Melanie Gonzalez helped organize and where I had the honor to participate. Prior to our Yacht Kittasy Native Center program identification, we featured a song by Joaquin Sabina entitled Quien Me Ha Robado el Mes de April. That music was from the Coalition of Immokalee Workers 2004 December General Assembly CD. Well, dear friends, we are nearing the end of our broadcast time together for this edition of Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. We again thank Melanie Gonzalez for being on Wolf Mountain Radio, as well as for her warrior spirit in working for a better world. We conclude today's program with a contemporary song from my friend Ras Kadi. Ras is Pomo American Indian and African American. He is a fine youth activist and editor of Snag Magazine. The song is entitled How the West Was Won. Until the next Wolf Mountain Native Radio, this is your host and producer, Ernest Pritzker, wishing you well. Aho, can on one talk with sin to all of our relations.
How you this? We are
tell you how the West was won.
In Umberto style. In Umberto style.
All you need.
Tell you how the West was won.
Gonna tell you how the West was won. In Umberto style. In Umberto style. From coast to coast, sea to sea, it all used to be Indian country. From coast to coast, sea to sea, it all used to be Indian country. They were living in tribal unity. Tierra del Fuego to the Arctic Sea. Some in the desert, some on the prairie, some in the mountains, some in the valleys. But then one day, they met the white man coming with a gun in his hand. All they wanted was a small piece of land. All they wanted was a small piece of land. But from coast to coast, sea to sea, they called it their manifest destiny. From coast to coast, sea to sea, they called it the manifest destiny. From border to border, from border to border. And then they wiped out the Sioux at Wounded Knee. Then they took away the Black Hills country. So whether you're a Navajo or a Hopi, or down to fight or Apache,
tell you how the West was won.
Gonna tell you
how the West was won.
In Umberto style. In Umberto style.
Tell you how the West was won.
Gonna tell you
how the West was won.
In Umberto style. In Umberto style.
Don't call them Indians.
Call them Native Americans.
Don't call them Indians.
Forced from the reservation.
Don't call them Indians.
Call them Native Americans.
Don't call them Indians.
Juan Casper. They were these foreigners who came to take all the land. They killed men and women and even children. Destroyed all the buffalo population and tried to put my people from the reservation.
Tell you how the West was won.
All you need.
Gonna tell you how the West was won.
All you need.
In Umberto style. In Umberto style.
Hey. Tell you how the West was won.
Gonna tell you how the West was won. In Umberto style. In Umberto style.
All you need.
From coast to coast, sea to sea, it all used to be Indian country. Living in tribal unity, Tierra del Fuego to the Arctic Sea. Then one day they met the white man. All they wanted was a small piece of land.
Tell you
tell you Happy West was one.
All your knees
in a murder style.
All your knees
in a murder style.
All your knees.
Tell you Happy West was one.
All your knees.
Tell you Happy West was one.
All your knees.